Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter number 12. The book of 1 Corinthians and chapter number 12. The Apostle Paul has been working with the church of Corinth to try to correct their behavior. He spent the first six chapters dealing with things that were commonly known and issues of the Corinthian church. Then he dealt with some of the questions that they had asked about, and he dealt with those, all of them leading to the place in the book of 1 Corinthians where he begins to deal with the heart of all of the problems, the idea of the misuse of spiritual gifts. Notice, if you don't mind, in the book of 1 Corinthians and chapter number 12. The book of 1 Corinthians and chapter number 12. And notice with me in verse number 1. 1 Corinthians in chapter 12 and verse 1, the Bible says this. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore, I give unto you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. And if you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Or if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, should have done that first. If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, notice with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1, notice the phrase, spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. And with the Lord's help, we're going to examine this topic and explain here the idea of spiritual gifts. Now, if you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, we're just asking that you would give us wisdom and understanding. And beyond our human understanding, beyond our human wisdom, that you would give us supernatural understanding from your word, carried about by your Holy Spirit. For all of us who know you as Savior, that you would make it clear, that you would make it evident, that you would make it discerning for us, that we would realize that you have given us gifts for the purpose of increasing your work and moving things forward. Again, open up discernment, open up our eyes that we may be see, and that you can get all the glory and honor because of the things done here. Strengthen us up for the future because of this. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. The Corinthian church was hallmarked by a phrase, puffed up. Over and over, the Apostle Paul brings up this phrase to describe the church of Corinth, puffed up. The word puffed up carries the idea of pride. This was a church known for their pride. And they had manifested their pride in many different ways, between the divisions of the church, between taking each other to court, by the different questions they asked. Over and over, they approved their lack of spiritual discernment, and they approved they were full of pride. And as if things could not get worse. You said, how could they get worse? Well, when you start measuring the idea of the misuse of spiritual gifts, you see that whereas man may not feel like this is important, God sees this as very important. That God has given a spiritual gift to every man. And yet the Corinthians have found a way to take the spiritual gifts and turn them for their own pride and their own arrogance. You see, the idea that the Corinthians had is that each of these gifts were actually done for losers, less losers, great people, super great people, super spiritual people. And whereas they may not say it that way, they did come to the place where they said, I have the gift of tongues. Look at how well I can speak in different languages. Notice how cool and awesome I am. I am so spiritual. Everyone acknowledge me. And they got to the place where they're taking gifts that God had given them, and they were finding ways to brag on them. And that if you didn't have a certain spiritual gift, they would look down upon you and say that you weren't spiritual. Or maybe we go so far as saying you're not even saved. If you don't have this specific spiritual gift, if you don't use your gift like us, if God didn't bless you like this, then you are not as good as I am. Can you imagine that God's given gifts to people for the purpose of equipping and moving his church forward, and people bragging about gifts that they had gotten as if they had done all the work? It is God that does the work. It is God that puts things together. And yet this church had gotten to the place where they are misusing gifts and they are making people feel worse because they did not get a certain type of gift that they figured they were elite in. Can you imagine? Now, as we're trying to define our terms and trying to explain things, spiritual gifts are not the same as natural gifts. Spiritual gifts are not the same as skills. What is a natural gift? Some people have a natural gift. For example, some people can have a natural gift of music. They could hear it by ear and they could play so beautifully. And they have this great gift. Others may have a skill. Remember, how do you develop a skill? Practice, 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 practice. And so whereas someone may have a natural talent that they didn't have to work so much, they could just work in perfecting it, that's a natural talent. Others have skills where they work hard to develop that skill and they end up playing beautifully, but they had to put in a lot of work and a lot of practice. That's a skill. The idea of natural talent is not the same as a spiritual gift. There are many people who are not saved who have natural talent. There are some people who have a natural talent of beautiful singing. There are some that have a natural talent of musical instruments. There are some that have a natural talent of oratory, of being able to speak and to motivate people. Some have a natural talent of artistry, whether it's putting together a painting or putting together a poem. There are people that have natural talents. There are some who have a natural talent of language. They could see how language puts together. There are some that have a natural talent of math and that they could see all the numbers put together, whereas some other people are trying to bust their fingers and trying to calculate 2 + 2, and it just... We understand there are natural talents. The spiritual gifts that we're speaking about are not natural talents. There's something supernatural. There's something that God gives someone above and beyond. The moment that you come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit, who is God, comes to live inside of you. But may I remind you that when you get saved, you just did not get fire insurance. When you get saved, you just did not get salvation. That when you got saved, God lives inside of you and has equipped you for a purpose. There's a reason why you're saved. And to enhance that, the Holy Spirit, who is God, when he comes to live inside of every Christian, also gives every Christian at least one spiritual gift. What are these gifts made for? These gifts are all made to further the work of God through his local church. And so, with this backdrop in mind, let's examine a little bit more about these spiritual gifts and the confusion that the Corinthians may have had concerning this. First of all, spiritual gifts point to Christ. Spiritual gifts point to Christ. Notice with me in verse number 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Paul starts off by saying, I want you to know about spiritual gifts. I don't want it to be a mystery. I don't want it to be some unknown thing. I want you to know clearly about spiritual gifts. Verse 2, ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Now, why is he bringing this up? He's bringing this up because many of these people come from a different type of religion. They come from a false religion. As they're in Corinth, many of them had followed Greek mythology or Roman mythology. And with that, there was a bit of mysticism. There was a bit of supernatural things. For example, they were in Corinth. Nearby was the Oracle of Delphi. And at the Oracle of Delphi, you can go and get your fortunes read. Now, because of Greek mythology, the Oracle at Delphi was put to an elevated position. Oh, this is someone who's magical. This is someone who's mystical. This is someone who's great. This is someone who's in touch. This is someone amazing. And so because of that, many of the Corinthians, coming from a culture of mysticism, of supernatural, of this idea of gods among us, they carried that thought process into Christianity. Oh, there's a real God in heaven, and he's given us gifts. Oh, I wonder if I could be like the Oracle of Delphi. I wonder if I can have words that would change the course of history, that would change the course of life. Oh, of course I would have that gift. Why wouldn't I? You see, they're carrying in some of their old religious baggage, and they're going to try to apply it into Christianity, which is incompatible. Now, of course, many of our other Christian religious friends out there tend to do the same thing, that they try to bring too much of an emphasis of a supernatural spiritual gift, and they try to measure the idea of someone's spirituality by the type of gift they have or by the absence of a certain type of gift that they feel is top-notch. Now, again, that is taught behavior, that is learned behavior, but it is not biblical behavior. We have to be careful about carrying in our preconceptions and what we imagine or what our parentage or our lineage teaches us about religion and see what the Bible has to say. Notice, if you don't mind, as it goes on in verse number 3, wherefore, I give unto you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now, what we understand here in verses 2 and 3 is that there is a spiritual world out there that is outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. These other spirits are going to try to imitate what God is doing. They're going to try to borrow the concepts, and yet they're going to try to divert it to try to get their ends met. This is why this message is so spiritual discerning, because there's many people out there who've had an experience, but it is not a biblical experience. But because they had an experience, they equivalate experience with Bible, meaning they make them equal. I know that I can speak in tongues because I've done it. It doesn't matter what the Bible says. My experience says it's true. Again, that's learned behavior that they got, that they were taught from other people, that they applied. We have to be careful of that. Just because something supernatural or spiritual may have happened to you doesn't mean that it came from God. Notice the subject of the chapter is spiritual gifts and their use, especially in the speaking of tongues, which is going to cover the next couple chapters, this idea, this emphasis of speaking in tongues, the interpretation and prophecy of it. These supernatural gifts that were there, all of them were going to be put to the test. How do I know if my spiritual gift is from God? That's a good question. That's what verse number 3 is. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. What it is that we test everybody by the content. By the content. And if should the speaker say something that brings people away from the person, the work, the name, or the glory of Jesus Christ, these people are not speaking from the Holy Spirit. Remember that the Holy Spirit's main job is to point to Christ. And that the Holy Spirit will not speak of himself. Remember, it's not an it, it is a he. He is God. But the Holy Spirit is never placing emphasis on himself. Be very careful with Christian organizations that put so much of an emphasis on the Holy Spirit. Now, we have to speak about the Holy Spirit because the Bible says so, but I'm speaking about the overemphasis of the Holy Spirit. There are many of them that will put too much emphasis on the Holy Spirit and detract from who Jesus is. Now, it's placing a scenario. If I am dead to self and filled with God's Spirit, the content that comes out of my mouth is going to be glorifying who God is. If I claim to be filled with the Spirit, but then I curse who Jesus is, that's not the Holy Spirit that is speaking. Either the person is speaking of themselves, or they're speaking by another spirit. You said, but I thought a Christian cannot be possessed. I know. But a Christian can be influenced, and a Christian can invite another spirit to speak through them. They thought it was the Holy Spirit, but it is not. You understand, this message requires lots of discernment. Because is this spirit, is it pointing to Christ? Is it magnifying Christ? Is it lifting up Christ? Or is it subtly, remember, Satan doesn't blatantly do it. Does it subtly take away from the person of Jesus Christ? Does it take it away from the work of Jesus Christ? The magnification, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must test the content that comes out. That's why we need to be very careful with what is out there. There are many people who may speak in tongues. Again, we'll just use plain language. People who speak in tongues who have no clue what they're saying. There's been more than one occasion where someone has spoken in tongues and there happened to be a missionary from China there. And as they're listening, their face goes, wow, I've never heard such coarse, horrible language in Chinese before. Well, I guess it wasn't the Holy Spirit that was speaking through them, was it? The missionary from China was not speaking in tongues. He was listening and no, there was no interpreter. And he was realizing these people didn't have any clue what they were saying. We need to be careful. Now, I know that's an example, but we have to be very careful. Now, we may use the example of tongues, but It doesn't matter what spiritual gift or what spiritual aspect we're speaking of, if it does not point and magnify to the Lord Jesus Christ, it is suspect. The purpose of these spiritual gifts is to honor who God is. And if we take these spiritual gifts that God has granted us and we don't use them to the Lord Jesus Christ, it becomes a misuse. Does that make sense? Notice as we continue on with his idea, notice that the spiritual gifts come from the Holy Spirit. The spiritual gifts come from the Holy Spirit. Now again, let me reemphasize that spiritual gifts are different from natural gifts. And the gifts that are listed here in this passage specifically are dealing with the supernatural sign gifts that were for a time. We're going to talk about the spiritual gifts that God has given to us in the book of Romans. But I'm giving you an example that in here, these are supernatural gifts helping the local church move forward until the Bible is written. Notice, if you don't mind, we can notice these. Spiritual gifts are different than natural abilities. Notice with me in verse number 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Remember, the idea of diversity carries the idea that there are different gifts. Remember what I said before in context, that the Corinthian church had said, if you don't have this gift, you truly don't have a spiritual gift. Here, the Apostle Paul is reminding people that there are differences, different diversities, different types of spiritual gifts, that not everyone is going to have the same one, and not everyone is going to have everyone. There's going to be diversities of the gift, but the same Spirit. You see, there's a God in heaven who knows that when you got saved, how he wants to use you. And he equips you in that way so you can be used. And God already knows what gift you need and what role you're going to play inside of God's work. Notice as it goes on, verse number 5. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. The administrations carries the idea of ministries, meaning that not everyone has the same ministry. For example, not everyone's called to preach. So you don't need the ministry of preaching. You need a different gift. And there are going to be diversities of gift, different ministrations, different ministries we have because of our spiritual gifts. And there are many diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh in all. Now, once again, the Holy Spirit knows what to do. Over and over, these three verses, it say it's the Holy Spirit that does it. The Holy Spirit that gives us the gift. By the way, you can't beg for a spiritual gift. Lord, please give me this spiritual gift. No, the Holy Spirit's the one who chooses for you. He's the one who's determined, and you get it at the moment of salvation. You get that, and it's the Lord's choice. Now, once again, it's talking about these sign gifts specifically in Corinthians, but these are the gifts that the Corinthians were misusing. Verse 8, for one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. So here again, the emphasis is that Holy Spirit knows who to give what gift to. To someone, he gives a word of wisdom, to another a word of knowledge, to another faith. By the same Spirit. So here the same Spirit's given three different gifts to three different people. Once again, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. We don't have the gifts of healing for us today, but back then as the New Testament church was moving forward, as the Bible was being completed, they had it, but not everyone had it. Verse number 10, to another the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, diverse kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Once again, it is the Holy Spirit's job who chose for you the moment of salvation, what gifts you're going to have, and how he wants to use you. You see, God's a smart enough God that he already knows what you're going to become. He already knows how he's going to mold you and make you so you could fit exactly where you should be inside of God's work. Now, with that, what are the spiritual gifts that God has given to us that apply to us here and now? With that, turn with me to the book of Romans, and this is where we're going to spend the rest of our time. In the book of Romans, it lists the spiritual gifts for us. Now, again, the purpose of the Corinthian passage was to tell the Corinthian church, listen, you're trying to misuse the gifts and telling everyone, if you don't have this gift, you're not special. If you don't have this gift, you're not spiritual. If you don't have this gift, and so on. And so he lists through that and says it's the Holy Spirit that gives the gifts. In the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul is now teaching the church of Rome and thus us, what are the spiritual gifts that are available for us now? Now, remember, when you come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you got at least one of these. Now, may I also remind you that just because you didn't, quote unquote, get a spiritual gift that's in this list, doesn't mean that it doesn't apply to you. That as a Christian, you should be working in all of these to try to better yourself in these as a skill. But God supernaturally gives you at least one of these gifts. Notice, if you don't mind, let's run through this in the book of Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and notice with me in verse number 6. We'll read the passage and then we'll go back and explain it. Romans 12, verse number 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth, on teaching. Or he that exhorteth, exhortation. Or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Here we could see these different spiritual gifts. Let's go and explain these spiritual gifts, and we want you to be discerning as we go through them, which one of these gifts are the one that God gave to you. Notice, if you don't mind, the first spiritual gift here is the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy. Once again, verse 6. Having then gifts differing, so again, different gifts for different people, according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Now, verse number 6 is the only unique gift here. What do I mean by unique? In this unique gift, this is a special calling of God for someone to preach. The word prophesy carries with it our idea of preaching, and it comes with two ideas, foretelling and forthtelling. The idea of foretelling is the idea of prophesying events that are yet to happen. This gift is closed because the Bible is completed. There are no more prophecies, prophets who are telling the future. That's closed. So the only part of this left is the forthtelling. That's what I'm doing for you now as I'm opening the Bible and telling you what the Bible says. This is a special calling of God that God gives to a person to put them in the ministry for the purpose of preaching and telling people what the Bible said. Now, as a preacher, God then leads people into different areas. He leads me to pastor. He led someone else to be a missionary, led someone to be an assistant to the pastor. But this call to preach is a special calling, and it is unique in that it has God's calling and special equipping of God to preach his word. Notice as we go on, we have the rest of this. This rest of the list is available for everyone. We have the next one, the gift of ministry. We often will call this the ministry of helps. It says, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. The idea of this spiritual gift is that there's a desire to help God's people, to serve and help God's people. The ministry of helps is often people who like to work in the background because things need to be done. Whether lights need to be above where our missions department is, or the building needs to be repaired, the carpets need to be vacuumed, the bathrooms need to be cleaned. Now, again, I said that All of these are things that we should do, but there are some people who are specially equipped that they said, I love to serve. I love to work in the bathrooms. I love to be a help. If I have an opportunity to serve, wonderful. Not everyone has that gift. Some of you said amen. Doesn't mean that you're exempt from it, because everyone has an opportunity to serve, but there are some people who God has specially gifted that they have no problems. Let me work in the background. What can I do? How can I work? Oh, please don't put my name in lights. Now, again, you need to put people where their spiritual gift is. For example, Max has the gift of helps. He doesn't have the gift of teaching, meaning like, please don't put me in front of a class. Let me just go work on a building. Let me go duct tape something. Let me go change lights out. So you find out where people's spiritual gift is, and you put them in that position so they could thrive and serve, because that's what God has equipped them to do. Does that make sense? So the ministry of helps is the desire to serve and to be a blessing and help God's people working in the background, getting things done. They thrive and they God's equipped them to serve in that capacity. Praise the Lord for that. That's an important ministry. Then with this, we have the spiritual gift of verse number 7, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching. This is a spiritual gift, the ability to teach God's truth, helping people to understand how the word of God applies to them. For me personally, I realized that soon after I got saved, I realized that God had equipped me with a spiritual gift and a supernatural God ability to be able to teach people things, especially the word of God. Now, if you don't have this gift, doesn't mean you're not exempt from it. You could always work to be a better teacher, a better communicator. But there are some people who are supernaturally, God has equipped them in a special way to teach the word of God and to help it make sense. For the rest of us, we have to work at it. Does that make sense? Now, you understand, you're starting to get the pattern that if you are absent of that spiritual gift, doesn't mean that you just wipe your hands off it and say, well, no, but you could still strive to work and as a skill to learn these abilities so you could be the best servant you possibly can. But there are some people they just love to teach, and they have the ability to teach God's word in a way. Now, remember, people can have teaching as a skill. This is specifically the ability to teach God's word and let it make sense. Now, in this, we'll go back and cover that. Notice, if you don't mind, in verse 8, we have a third one here. Fourth one, rather. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. Here we have the spiritual gift of exhortation. We may call it encouragement. There are some people who have the ability and desire to encourage others in their Christian life. There are some people who are natural encouragers, that God has equipped them in a special way to encourage others. Now, again, if you don't have that spiritual gift, doesn't mean you wipe your hands. You still need to learn how to be an encouragement to others. And some of them, it's a challenge because it's against your nature, because you'd rather kick them in the face. But you have to learn how to be an encouragement to others, how to say things correctly. But there are some people who are just natural encouragers. I mean, supernatural because of their spiritual gift, that they find it very easy to encourage people rather than kick them in the face. But even if you don't have that spiritual gift, we work on it. But there are people who are natural encouragers. Notice, if you don't mind, another one. Or he that exhort on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. There are some people who have the spiritual gift of giving. That for them, it's the ability to desire and to give to God's work and to God's people. They are thrilled with the opportunity. They wish they had more money to give it away. They want to give it away. Sometimes you feel like you got to put reins on them because they'll give everything away. They just have this natural, I want to give, I want to give, I want to give. Now, I understand not every person has that gift. It doesn't mean that, well, I don't have to give now. No, it means you have to work at it. I heard once a story of a of a little boy who went up to his mom and says, "Mom, is God rich?" "Well, yeah, he owns everything." "So he's got lots of money?" "Yeah, he does." "Well, if God's rich and he has lots of money, then why does he want my quarter?" He didn't want to give away his quarter. He was trying to argue, well, God doesn't... We have to teach the boy, listen, God doesn't need your money, but you need his blessings. You need to give. And God wants to use you. But we know that there are some people like that. Like, I know I'm supposed to give, but you work on it. If you don't have that spiritual gift, you work on these things. But there are some people who are natural givers. They, "Lord, give me more money that I could give it away. Just use me as a vessel. Use me as a conduit. Just channel it through me. I just want to give, 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 give." Praise the Lord for that. Those are necessary. Now, as you could start seeing, God is starting to build up a local church by putting different people with different skill sets, different natural gifts that he puts in there to help that local church move forward. Notice again, it lists another one in verse number 8. "Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence." The idea of ruling here carries the idea of administration, the ability to lead or to administrate part of God's work. The idea of organization, the idea of leading, the idea of putting things together so that way it works correctly. Organizing people. You go here, you go here, you go here. There are some people who have this spiritual gift that they can organize, that they could put things together. Now, once again, as I've said, that if you don't have this spiritual gift, it doesn't mean that you're absent from it. That you need to work at it to organize yourself so you can be a better tool for it. You just have to work at it. But there are some people who are natural organizers, who are natural leaders, who are natural at putting people at the right place and putting the right personnel at the right place and putting it together. Praise the Lord for that. That's necessary inside of a local church. Notice, if you don't mind, there's another one in here. At the end of verse number 8, "He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." Here, there's the spiritual gift of mercy. The idea of mercy is the ability to feel the pain of others and help them through the trials. This gift of mercy, that they feel the pain of others, that they could see someone suffering and they could feel with them. Now, we know that there are natural encouragers. Mercy's is similar but different. They could feel the pain. "Come on, let me go with you. Let's go through this together. Let me try to help you take the next step." They have the ability to feel the pain of others and help them through their trials. Those people are necessary too. We need people with mercy. Now, these are the spiritual gifts. When you came to know the Lord as your Savior, the moment you got saved, you got at least one of these. Several people may get a couple of them. And the ones that you're lacking, you work at. You give until it stops hurting. You encourage people until it becomes more of a habit. You try to feel people's pain even though you're apathetic. You work at these skills. But every single one of you have one of them, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior. If you say, "I don't have any of them," then perhaps we need to go start back at salvation. Or you're so wrong with the Lord that things are kind of blocked. But every single one of you have one of these gifts. Why do you have these gifts? For the purpose of helping the local church that you belong into move forward. God has equipped you for a specific reason, for a specific purpose, for this time, for this place, to help us move forward. Everyone has a role to play. Everyone has a part. Everyone God has placed in here. Now remember, with the Corinthians, they had misused the gifts. Maybe, for example, someone had the gift of teaching. But instead of teaching God's word, they wanted to use their teaching to make them look better. They wanted to use that gift to show how great I am. And they made their spiritual gift tied into their pride. Maybe the church of Corinth, they looked down upon the ministry of helps. They're always doing the labor stuff. They're not as good as us who are in the forefront on the stage. Everyone acknowledge us. you understand the ministry of helps is just as important as the gift of teaching. But they're a different skill set, different gift that God has given, that God has equipped some people to do this and some people to do this. And as we all work together, the building is joint fitly, perfectly. And the church moves forward because everyone has a role to play and you're finding your role into it. And if you don't have those other skills, you work at it. You work at it. For example, let's go back. If you don't have the gift of helps, well, then learn how to be a servant. Volunteer to do stuff you don't like to do till you get to the place where it no longer bothers you. The idea of teaching. Everyone can be taught to be a better teacher. We try to do things like this in evening school where we do teaching the Bible. You should be able to communicate the truth. Tell someone about how they can know for sure Jesus is their Savior. To be able to communicate simple truths. He that exhorteth on exhortation. We need to work on encouraging others. If there's one spiritual gift that's towards the bottom in people's eye, it's this one. Why should I encourage people? People bother me. I wish I could just live alone away from people because people are the problem. Well, you got to learn how to encourage people when you don't feel like encouraging them. The idea of giving. Well, if it hurts to give, give until it stops hurting. Give more. You know, there are ways to solve these problems, but you have to work at it until it's no longer a big deal, till you develop the habit of it. Again, there are some people who are natural givers. Others have to develop the habit of it. He that ruleth with diligence. Well, all of us can learn how to be better organized. All of us can learn how to put things in the correct order and to help put things in the right position. Anyone can learn to be more organized. Again, there are some people who have a natural organization that God is supernatural. You understand when I'm saying natural, we're talking about the Holy Spirit giving this when you get saved. He that showeth mercy. Not everyone is equipped to feel people's pain, especially in our culture. We don't like to hurt. And if someone's hurting around us, we get away from them so we don't feel their hurt. There are some people who feel their hurt. And there are great helps because there are a lot of people that are hurting around us. You want to talk about a ministry that will explode? Someone once told me that if you learn to preach to broken hearts, you'll never lack an audience.
Amen.
There are so many people that are hurting. And if you have the ministry of mercy, you need to learn how to use that skill correctly to help people not to quit, but to move forward. You have such an important ministry. Now, again, you need to find out which one of these spiritual gifts that you have. And there are ways of doing it. Your pastor can help discern with you, but when it's all said and done, you need to find out for yourself, not just take pastor's word for it. There are spiritual gift tests. Now, again, those are man-made tests, and they can be flawed, and they only work as well as you're being honest. Most people will be a Corinthian and say, no, I'm good at this, and I'm good at this, and I'm good at this. Oh, look, I'm perfect in all of those. If you come up with a perfect score on all of those in a spiritual gift test, there's something bad wrong with your pride. But you have a role to play in this church. With these spiritual gifts, we have enough people that there's at least one of these spiritual gifts filled with these people in here. Find what your role is. Find what it is, develop it, and work within it within the local church. It's why God has equipped you. There are some people, like I gave the example of Max. We found what his role is. We put him in it. He thrives in it. And it's a great help to this church to move forward. He does so many things that you don't even know about. And praise the Lord. And he doesn't get a lot of credit for it. And he doesn't want to be up here. Every time we force him, he tries to get down as quickly as possible. We understand that, by the way, he's my backup Sunday school teacher if I ever like croak. You know, we put people in the right position and we want them to thrive. But part of that is understanding what your spiritual gift is. How do you find it out? Well, first of all, Go talk to the Lord. Lord, what did you save me to do? What have you equipped me to do? Then when you find it, develop that gift and use it for the purpose of the local church. How can you use that gift to move this church forward? Remember, everyone has a role to play. There is no spectators in the work of God. If you're not currently doing something to help this church move forward, then there's something wrong. Every single one of you have a part to play. Every single one of you have things that God wants to use. What is that gift? Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.